May 29. We who have learned to put our drink problem in God's hands can help others to do so. We can be used as a connection between an alcoholic's needs and God's supply of strength. We in Alcoholics Anonymous can be uniquely useful just because we have the misfortune or fortune to be alcoholics ourselves. Do I want to be a uniquely useful person? Will I use my own greatest defeat and failure and sickness as a weapon to help others? Meditation for the day. I will try to help others. I will try not to let a day pass without reaching out an arm of love to someone. Each day I will try to do something to lift another human being out of the sea of discouragements into which he or she has fallen. My helping hand is needed to raise the helpless to courage, to strength, to faith, to health. In my own gratitude, I will turn and help other alcoholics with the burden that is pressing too heavily upon them. Prayer for the day. I pray that I may be used by God to lighten many burdens. I pray that many souls may be helped through my efforts. Powerlessness and manageability. Willpower is not the key to the way of living we are seeking. Surrender is. I have spent much of my life trying to make people be, do, or feel something they aren't, don't want to, and choose not to feel. I have made them and myself crazy in that process, said one recovering woman. I spent my childhood trying to make an alcoholic father who didn't love himself to be a normal person who loved me, and then married an alcoholic and spent a decade trying to help make him stop drinking. I have spent years trying to make emotionally unavailable people be emotionally present for me. I have spent even more years trying to make family members who are content feeling miserable, happy. What am I saying? What I am saying is this. I've spent much of my life desperately and vainly trying to do the impossible and feeling like a failure when I couldn't. It's been like planting corn and trying to make the seeds grow peas. Won't work. By surrendering to powerlessness, I gained the presence of mind to stop wasting my time and energy trying to change and control that which I cannot change and control. It gives me permission to stop trying to do the impossible and focus on what is possible, being who I am, loving myself, feeling what I feel, and doing what I want to do with my life. In recovery, we learn to stop fighting lions simply because we cannot win. We also learn that the more we are focused on controlling and changing others, the more unmanageable our life becomes. The more we focus on living our own life, the more we have a life to live, and the more manageable our life will become. Today, I will accept powerlessness where I have no power to change things, and I'll allow my life to become manageable. The Eternal Christ, 2. In the book An Acceptable Time, Zachary Gray, a young man who has courted both Vicki Austin and Polly O'Keefe, shows up at Polly's grandparents' home. Eventually, he becomes involved in a fantastic adventure that takes Polly, Zachary, and a family friend, Bishop Culebra, back to 1000 B.C. Zachary has become a prisoner of the people across the lake, one of the two tribes the time travelers meet in the past. Bishop Culebra prays. When we got to the standing stones, there was someone lying on the altar. With a low cry, Annerall hurried forward, then drew back. "It is Bishop talking with the presence." While Polly watched, the bishop slowly pushed himself into a sitting position and smiled at her and Annerall. Then he returned his stare to some distance. "But Lord, I make my prayer to you in an acceptable time," he whispered. The words of the psalmist. How did he know that the time was acceptable? How do we know an acceptable time now? For God's now is equally 3,000 years in the future and 3,000 years in the past. "We are sorry," Annerall apologized. "We did not mean to disturb your prayers." The bishop held out his hands and palms up. "I have tried to listen, to understand." "Who are you trying to listen to?" Polly asked. "Christ," the bishop said simply. "But bishop, this is 1,000 years before." The bishop smiled gently. "There's an ancient Christmas hymn I particularly love. Do you know it? Of the Father's love begotten, ere the worlds began to be." Polly said the second line. "He is Alpha and Omega. He the source, the ending." The bishop continued. "The second person of the Trinity always was, always is, always will be. And I can listen to Christ now, 3,000 years ago, as well as in my own time. Though in my own time, I have the added blessing of knowing that Christ, the Alpha and Omega, the source, visited this little planet. We are that much loved. But nowhere, at any time, or in any place, are we deprived of the source." Oh dear, I am preaching again. "That's okay," Polly said. "It helps."